Okay, so today I will talk about symmetric information complete PUVMs in prime dimensions. So as we know, prime is very special in many problems, and it is also true for study of thick PUVMs. And I will show that thick PUVMs in prime dimension are very special, and I will explain in a minute. So if you are interested, you can look into this paper in more detail. So here's the plan of the talk. First, I will give a short introduction about thick PUVMs, Heisenberg-Wey group, and Clifford groups. They are closely related to each other. Then I will give the main results about the thick PUVMs in prime dimensions. In particular, I will prove that each group covariant thick PUVM is covariant with respect to the Heisenberg-Wey group if the dimension is prime. At the end of the talk, I will talk a little bit about the peculiarity of thick PUVMs in dimension 3. So before I introduce thick PUVMs, so here's about informational complete measurements. Just as we know, general measurements is described by PUVM, and the outcomes are represented by positive operators summing up to the identity. A very important property of PUVM is informational completeness. So it is informational complete if the outcome spans operator space. Then we can reconstruct any state according to the set of probabilities. So a thick PUVM, symmetric informational complete PUVM, first studied systematically by Thorner. It's composed of D square outcome zeta subnormalized projectors on the pure states. So they are very symmetrical, which is clear from this. So from this equation, you can see that they are very symmetrical. So each pair of states have the same fidelity. And it turns out that this property will also lead to high efficiency in state estimation. For example, Scott has shown that under linear state tomography, the thick PUVM gives minimal mean square error. So here's a simple fact about thick PUVMs. In dimension 2, if we represent the outcomes of the four outcomes on the Bose field, then we get a tetrahedron, regular tetrahedron, so it's very symmetrical. And the thick PUVM in hard dimension can be a generalization of this very symmetrical object. And it is known exactly for dimension 2 to 15 and also several other dimensions. Numerically, it is found for dimension up to 20, up to 67. So much evidence there. Most people in this field would believe that they exist for any Hilbert space of finite dimension. But surprisingly, no proof has been found, and we have no clue how to prove this at this moment. Besides, this thick PUVM is also interesting because its connection with other interesting topics like mutual and bus spaces, angular lines, the design, the algebra, and the foundational studies. So here are some background which I will need in later discussion. So I define the symmetric group of a thick PUVM as all unitary operators that map the thick PUVM to itself up to maybe some phases. Because operators which differ only by overall phase factors implement the same transformation. So more often it's more convenient to consider the collineation group, or sometimes also called the projective group, which is obtained just by identifying these operators differing by phase factors. And what So later, if we mean the order and the other properties of this group, we generally mean the set of the collineation group, except stated otherwise. Because if you include the spaces, then the group is an infinite group, which is difficult to handle. And for technical reasons, later we also need a unimodular group, that is, groups such that all elements have determined one. So this is just for technical reasons. But there's a very interesting results about the unimodular group and the collineation group. So their order satisfies this equation, and there exists exactly one unimodular unit group such that the order of the unimodular group is d times order of the collineation group. So for convenience of later discussion, I just require this same group to be unimodular. Then a very important advantage is that they are both finite group now. So this is mainly for technical reasons. So here I introduce group covariant stick PUVMs. So we call stick PUVM group covariant if it can be generated by a unitary group from a single state. Then this state is called a fiducial state. Very surprisingly, most known stick PUVM are covariant with respect to the Heisenberg weight group, which are generated by the phase operator and the cyclic shift operator. And here, so they are defined, but so they is just a diagonal matrix if you represent it in the standard basis. And the X just shifted the basis factors by one. And here's elements in the Heisenberg weight group up to some phases. So here's a very important commutation relationship between the two operators. It turns out that these two operators also characterize the Heisenberg weight group uniquely. In other words, if two operators satisfy this equation, then they generate the Heisenberg weight group. Actually, I learned this from Marcus. And it is maybe important to take note that if we include the phases, then the Heisenberg weight group is not an abelian group. And its order is d cubed. But if we neglect the spaces, then we have an abelian group that is of order d squared. And in later, in the consideration of other groups, I will also consider both unimodular group and collineation group. So here's a Clifford group is a normalizer of the Heisenberg weight group. That is, it acts by conjugation on the elements of the Heisenberg weight group, and up to some phases, just commute these elements in the Heisenberg weight group. And sometimes we may also consider anti-unitary operations, and we get the extended Clifford group. A very important property of the is that because the fiducial state satisfies the equation, this definition of the fiducial state. So according to this definition, a fiducial state remains a fiducial state under the action of the extended Clifford group. So due to the property I just stated previously, fiducial states and the stick PUVM form orbits under the action of the Clifford group or the extended Clifford group. And the stabilizer of a fiducial state is defined as operators in the Clifford group or the extended Clifford group, which leaves the fiducial state invariant or up to some phases. And the number of fiducial states on each orbit can be determined as the index of the stabilizer. That is the order of the Clifford group divided by the stabilizer, order of the stabilizer. So quite interestingly, in dimension 3, we know there exists a continuous orbit of reduced vectors, but in all other dimensions, what we know is only a finite number. Actually, only a small number, except dimension 3. So dimension 3 is special. Later, we'll show that there are some other peculiarity in dimension 3. So here are the open questions. That's mostly numerical, but in low dimensions it can be determined analytically. Yeah. I think 15. Yeah. So here are some open questions I hope to address in the talk. So the first question is, are there group covariance PUVM that are not covariant with respect to the Heisenberg weight group? And the second question is, are there non-Clifford unitary that can make PUVM to itself? Because most people in this field just, when they study the symmetry of the PUVM, they just consider the Clifford group. But the question is whether it is justified to just consider the Clifford group. And the third question is whether two circuit PUVM on different orbits of the Clifford group can be equivalent. Here, equivalent means that they can be turned into each other with unitary or anti-unitary operations. So I should give next answer to all three questions if the dimension is prime not equal to 3. So prime number play a very important role in the proof, you will see later. And dimension 3 is quite peculiar also, so we discuss at the end. Because dimension 2 is trivial, so we assume the prime is odd, and this simplifies the discussion. To answer these questions in prime dimensions, we need a better understanding of the structure of the Clifford group. But before that, we need the concept of the special linear group. So it defines as a 2x2, a group of 2x2 matrices with entries from the finite field, Cp, and they has determined 1. So, yeah, so that's a very simple group, actually. So the extended special linear group just may have determined minus 1, and it is generated by the special linear group, and that's very special matrix of determined minus 1. And also we need the semi-direct product between the special linear group and Cp squared. So they are defined according to the following product rule. So this definition is quite similar to the definition of space groups in study of solid state physics. So the structure of the Clifford group can be understood from this isomorphism between the semi-direct product and the project for Clifford group. So if we say unit pair is the image and this isomorphism of this element in this semi-direct product, then you act by conjugation, you will get a new element in the Heisenberg weight group. EF just can be seen as a rotation in this two-dimensional space. Here are some best vectors. So here are the explicit correspondence between. So from these two formulas, you can compute the Clifford unit tree explicitly, and you can determine various properties of this Clifford unit tree. In particular, you can determine the dimension for each edging space of this Clifford unit tree. That will play an important role in our later discussion. And under this map, the special matrix has determined minus 1 is never to the complex conjugation operator. So this two equation plus this complete determines an isomorphism. And so later we just use this determines denote the isomorphic image of this element. The difference just replace the parentheses with brackets. So before we set our and prove our main result, we need a few technical details. So the first is about P group. So this is quite simple. So just any group that whose order is the power of P. For our proof, we need three properties. So first, a P group has a non-trivial center. Second is normalizer is spectral edge. And third, any irreducible representation of a P group is monomial. So a center in a group is just consisting of elements that commute with all elements in the group. A proper subgroup is just a group that is not the smaller subgroup. So yes, monomial is such a matrix is called monomial if each column, each row has exactly one entry that is non-zero, then this entry is, has the modulus 1. And the representation is monomial if the image of all elements in the group are monomial in a suitably chosen basis. We also need a Sylow's theorem. So suppose G is a finite group whose order divides the P to the power K and not P to power k plus 1, then the Sylow P subgroup is a subgroup such that its order is P to power k. So it is a maximal P subgroup. So Sylow theorem is considered as one of the most influential theorem in finite group theory. It states that there exists a Sylow P subgroup for any prime factor of G, and the number of Sylow P subgroup is equal to 1 modulo P and divides the index of P in G. And all Sylow P subgroup are conjugated to each other. Any P group is contained in one of the Sylow P subgroups. So these four properties we will use in later proof. Last technical detail is about algebraic integer. So this is just defined as a root of a monic polynomial with integer coefficients. Monic means that the leading coefficient is 1. So we need what we need is just the three properties of algebraic integers. First, roots of unity are algebraic integers. Second is that the set of algebraic integers are close under addition, multiplication, and the complex conjugation. So they form a ring in the complex set of complex numbers. The last property is that if we have a fraction, say 1/2, that is not an integer, then it is also not an algebraic integer. This is all we need about algebraic integers. So now we are ready to answer question 1 in prime dimension. So we assume that each group of covariant QVM is covariant with respect to the Heisenberg wave group. So we will do this in three steps. Basically, we assume that if a QVM is covariant with respect to some group G, then G contains a Heisenberg weight group. So the first step is we assume that G is necessarily non-abelian. We assume G is unimodular. The second step, we assume that G contains a P group of order P cube at least. And the second given is also covariant with respect to this subgroup. Then we show that this subgroup will contain the Heisenberg weight group. So here's the first step. If a second given is covariant with respect to unimodular unitary group G, then G is necessarily non-abelian. So we prove this by contradiction. Assume G is abelian, then we can diagonalize it, so we can assume it's diagonal. So assume beside G as the fiducial factors, we have G square fiducial factors, and AGK as the entries. Because this given group covariant, all fiducial factors can be connected by this group which is diagonal, so AGK is independent of G. That means, so then we have the condition, this condition simply because it is a PUVM. So this condition implies that AGK is also independent, modulus of AGK is also independent of K. So they are all equal to 1 over square root of D. Now we'll get this contradiction. Suppose we have a unitary in the group G, diagonal unitary, that does not stabilize the psi. So that's the equation, just the equation, the definition of a fiducial factor. It necessarily satisfies this equation. So here. And this is just this assumption here. Get here. But what's contradiction is that you know that UJ are loose unity because they are algebraic integers. And also the term is algebraic integer. But here we get a fraction that's not integer. So it's not. So we can get a contradiction. So we have proved this, just in four steps. So the next step is we show that the group G will contain a P group of order at least P cube. And this group has property that it is irreducible when taking a representation of itself. Because here we all consider linear groups, so they can be taken a representation of themselves. And this double law is very important. So first, we show that the sigma PUVM is also covariant with respect to P group. This because P is a Slevin P subgroup, so it is maximal. So G over P is not divisible by P. But the number of fiducial factors P square G is the power of P. So that implies that the sigma PUVM is also covariant with respect to the Slevin P subgroup of G. Then, according to previous proposition, P is necessarily non-abelian, and this order is at least P cubed, because all P groups of order P or P squared are actually abelian. Then, we use a result from representation series, which says that any irreducible representation of finite group degree or dimension defines its order. That implies that if P is reducible, then the reducible component's degree has either 1 or P. But the total degree of P is because dimension is P. So that's impossible because P is non-abelian. So we have only one choice. It must be irreducible. So now we are over this final result that any group of covariance PVM is covariant with respect to the Hessian-Bohr weight group if its dimension is prime. The way to do this is we find the Hessian-Bohr weight group in the Seeloff-Pitt subgroup of G. More specifically, we find the two operators that have the same commutation relation with the X and Z in the Hessian-Bohr weight group. And by that, it implies that it must generate a Hessian-Bohr weight group. So first, the center of P is non-trivial because any P group has a non-trivial center. This is a well-known result in finite group theory. And second, any element in center must be proportional to its identity because P is irreducible. As we know, for irreducible representation, any element that commute with irreducible representation must be proportional to identity. Then the center of P is exactly the subset group of omega I because P is unimodular, we assumed earlier. So the last step is we find the two operators that satisfy the same commutation relationship as the two operators XZ in the Hessian-Bohr weight group. So suppose we choose the element in P that not in the its center, but its image, in the quotient group is in the center. So because it does not commute, does not in the center, so there must be some element that does not commute with X prime. But because its image is the center, so the commutator must be of this form. After replacing K with some power of replacing Z prime with the power of Z prime, then we can assume that K can be equal to 1. So finally, we get that Z prime and X prime are based on the same commutation relationship as Z and X in the Hessian-Bohr weight group. So that generates the Hessian-Bohr weight group. And finally, we show that any group of covariance PV must be covariant with respect to the Hessian-Bohr weight group if its dimension is prime.
Is it enough just to have the commutation relation to determine Z and X?
You mean this commutation relation?
Yeah, is that enough?
Yeah, it's enough.
So can you prove then that Z to the power of the dimension is just the unity?
So if you replace Z prime with some power of Z prime, you get you can get k equal to 1. And this commutation relation will...
And we have a...
It's the same as a
setting. Irreducible representation?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we need.
So now we try to answer the second question. So are there non-clifford unitary that can map HW covariance PVM to itself? In other words, it is enough to consider just the Clifford unitary in the study of PVMs. And the answer is also no if the dimension is prime. So this actually is equivalent to show that the Stemmich group of the PVM is necessarily a subgroup of the Clifford group. Because the Clifford group by definition is normalized over the Hessian-Bohr weight group, so it is equivalent to that the Hessian-Bohr weight group is the normal subgroup of the symmetric group. So in first step, we show that HW group is a CLP subgroup of the symmetric group if the prime is not equal to 3. So we also prove this by contradiction. So suppose D, the Hessian weight group D, is not the CLP subgroup, then it must be a proper subgroup of some CLP subgroup, say P. Then we the normalizer of D in P must be still larger. This is just a property of P group I stated earlier. So that's P prime. We can find the P prime of order P to power 4, which contains the Heisenberg weight group as a normal subgroup. Then P prime is also a CLP subgroup of the Clifford group because the it's containing the normalizer of D, and so the CLP subgroup of the Clifford group also has order P to power 4. So without loss of generality, we can identify this with one of the CLP subgroup in the Clifford group which are generated by this operator. Because all CLP subgroups are conjugated to each other, so it doesn't matter which CLP subgroup you choose. So we reduce this problem to a very arbitrary P group to a very specific P group in the Clifford group, which we have a very concrete description. Then it turns out any second QVM in part dimension not equal to 3 cannot covariant with this, cannot have this P group as a symmetric group. And this can also be proved by contradiction, basically because if a fiducial vector is stabilized by, you can show that it is it will be stabilized by operator of this form, which is diagonal. So it also stabilizes P fiducial vector of this form. But previously, we have determined the we can determine the eigenspace of the operator with this form, and we can show that the dimension is at most 2. And so two-dimensional subspace cannot admit so many fiducial factors, so we get a contradiction if P is larger than 5. But for dimension 3, this does not hold. So this is one of the reasons of the peculiarity of in dimension 3, we will explain later. So to proceed first, we need a separate theorem, which is so suppose G is a finite group with a faithful irreducible unimodular or persistent seems intimidating, but what we all need is just there's 2 points. So a quasi primitive representation is the one who's restricted to every subgroup is homogeneous. That is, it is a multiple of identical representations. And if a representation in one dimension, if a reducible representation is not quasi primitive, then it is monomial and vice versa. Multiple is just a direct sum. Yeah, direct sum. So, so if the symmetric group is quasi primitive, then according to the simplest theorem, we get our final result that in any form dimension not equal to 3, each group covariant CQVM is covariant with respect to unique Heisenberg weight group. And this symmetric group is the subgroup of the Clifford group. In this, we also use the Seurat theorem because here we show that the Heisenberg weight group is the normal subgroup. So according to Seurat theorem, there's the only one such group in the default group. So if G is monomial, so we can so it is enough to show that if we want to show that this is a normal subgroup of a symmetric group, it is enough to show that this is satisfied. And that's not difficult to show. No, I have two cases. Monomial and the quasi primitive.
Oh, I see.
So I consider two cases separately.
Okay.
So if it is quasi primitive, I can prove this by applying the stability theorem, and so the remaining case is a monomial case. So finally, we show that the symmetric group is a subgroup of the Clifford group, and there's only one Heisenberg wave group in the symmetric group. In other words, there are no non-Clifford unitaries that can map a sick PUVM to the CF if the dimension is prime, not equal to 3. So here we get an interesting corollary about the stabilizer of the interfiducial factor. So basically, previous result we imply that the stabilizer of the fiducial state is either cyclic or a dicyclic group. So because from all known results, the stabilizer are cyclic group, but no one knows why. So our results at least give a hint to this maybe conjecture that the stabilizer must be a cyclic estimation. Is a prime. So now we answer the last question. So can two sick PUV on different orbits be equivalent? The answer is also no if the dimension is prime, not equal to 3. So this is actually a simple corollary of the theorem we just proved. Because each sick PUV is covalent with respect to unique Heisenberg wave group, so any unit trace that map a sick PUV to another sick PUV must leave this Heisenberg wave group because it is unique. So it is necessary belong to the Clifford group. And so sick PUV on different orbits are necessarily not equivalent. I mean, you cannot find another subgroup in the symmetric group that are unitary equivalent to the Heisenberg wave group. Okay, so much about general problem dimension. Now I shall focus on dimension 3. As we have shown previously, there are some peculiarity in dimension 3. In particular, there is a continuous family of orbits, while for all other dimensions, all we know is a very small number of orbits. So here's a family of fiducial factors given by Appleby. And they are actually in one-to-one correspondence with distinct orbits if t is between 0 and pi over 3. So there are also three kinds of orbits. Two exception orbits correspond to t equal to 0 and t equal to pi over 3. And in between there are generic orbits. So why we call them exceptional? Because the number of sick PUVs on each orbits are different, you see. Except for this point, there's only one sick PUV. In other words, the sick PUV you can see is more symmetric because all the Clifford unitary make the sick PUV into itself, so it's very symmetrical. is most symmetrical. But for genetic orbiter, we have more sync PUV on the orbiter. So it's, in a sense, it's less symmetrical. So before state our main result about main three, we need something about the Heisenberg wave group in the Clifford group. So that's also answer the question, so what it means by unique Heisenberg wave group. Because in the Clifford group, there are some other groups that are unitary equivalent to the standard Heisenberg wave group. By standard, I just mean the one defined previously. Because I want to consider others to use the standard to distinguish one defined previously. So I call this all the HW groups. In general, it's not known how many such groups in the Clifford group, but if dimension prime, this dimension prime is not difficult to determine. So because each Heisenberg wave group is a P group, it must be containing the in a stellar P subgroup. So first we determine the number of stellar P subgroup, which turns out is P plus 1. And in each stellar P subgroup, we show that they are exactly P Heisenberg wave groups, and including the standard HW group. And actually, the standard HW group is exactly the intersection of all the stellar P subgroups. Hence, so the total number of HW group in the Clifford group is P squared. So this is true actually for any prime P. But if dimension is not prime, this is not necessarily true. So here's the main result about dimension 3. So it's also true that each group of covariance PUV is covariant with respect to Heisenberg wave groups, but it can be covariant with respect to 3 or 9 Heisenberg wave groups. So that's different from previous case. And the symmetric group is also a subgroup of at least one of the Clifford groups, because there are many HW groups. Each HW group has a corresponding Clifford group. And you can show that the symmetric group is at least the subgroup of one of these Clifford groups, but not necessarily the standard Clifford group, that is the Clifford group of the standard HW group. So, and there may exist 2 or 3 orbits of equivalent PUV depending on the order of the symmetric group. So that's all different from plot dimension not equal to 3. So here we can also show this by, in 2 cases, monomial case and non-monomial case. So if it's not monomial, maybe I should skip some detail. We can also show that the symmetric group is a subgroup of the Clifford group. And we also show that all subgroups of the Clifford group are monomial. If P equal to 3. So in this case, the symmetric group can only be the Clifford group itself, which contains non-HW groups we just described. And it turns out there are exactly 2 orbits of sync PUVs corresponding to if T equal to 0 and T equal to 2 pi over 9. Respect have this temperature. And the sync PUV on these 2 orbits are actually equivalent. But this seems not very surprising, because previously we showed that there's only one sync PUV corresponding to this orbit, and 8 sync PUVs corresponding to this sync PUVs. So that is, seems very surprising. But that's because a sync PUV can be covariant with respect to 3 or 9 Heisenberg wave groups. And if you see from different Heisenberg wave group, you actually see different symmetry if you just consider symmetry operation in the Clifford group. So in dimension 3, we need some caution in the study of the signatures and sick PUVMs. So similarly for the case we are symmetrical with monomial, and we can also show that the symmetric group is necessarily a subgroup of one of the Clifford groups, but not necessarily the standard Clifford group. And we can also determine that in that case, the symmetric group as its order can only have two choices, 27 or 54. And in either case, it contains three HW groups. And also, only two orbits have a symmetry group of order 54. And this is actually the exception orbit corresponding to t equal to power of 3 and this power of 9. Also, these two orbits, there are different number of sick PUVMs on. But this is 8 sick PUVMs and this orbit 4 sick PUVMs. Also, surprisingly, they are also, the sick PUVMs are also equivalent with these two orbits for the same reason I just described previously. And when t between 0 and the power of 9, we see this sick PUV on the three orbits corresponding to this. The three parameters are equivalent. And all the sick PUVMs have a symmetric group of order 27. And yes, so the symmetry, the sick PUVMs are equivalent, but it turns out if you consider the orbits as a whole, they are not equivalent. In other words, you cannot map one orbit to another orbit with unit operations. Also, the sick PUVMs. These sick PUVMs are equivalent. So this is also a peculiarity in dimension 3. Okay, so this is all is our just recapitulate the main result. Basically we show that each group covariant sick PUVMs covariant with respect to the Heisenberg weight group if its dimension is a prime. And here are some details for dimension not equal to 3 and dimension 3. Here's some main references about sick PUVMs. Okay, thank you for attention. Yes, I have tried, and I only obtained some partial results, but I cannot get the same result yet.
Well, you wouldn't be able to get the same result, because it's known that there are non-Hall bias and the bias seats in funny. Dimension 8.
Yes, the result is different.
Maybe you can put it's different, but I mean maybe you can still put some restrictions.
Yeah, yeah. You need to add some maybe additional assumptions.
Yes.
But the question seems difficult.
I wonder if you could prove something, maybe at least classify to some extent the cases. So, for instance, could you prove that every covariant POVM must be generated from a unitary error basis, a group that corresponds to a unitary error basis, perhaps?
I'm not sure about this.
Because the other cases that are the non-Bob-Heisenberg covariant cases that are known have been generated from unitary error bases that are not Heisenberg, Bob-Heisenberg, Heisenberg bound. So it might be nice if you could prove a result that says, well, that's the only covariant case.
Yes, that's possible, but yeah.
Probably wrong, but possible. Any other questions? Well, then let's thank Quantum again.